Okay, time management. So I can sit here and tell you, well, I always do it this way, and this is how I do recess. And okay, that might help you. That might be. You might like an idea here and there. But the problem is, give her a paper if she wants one. The problem is, it might not work for you. And so, well, that's kind of pointless for me to sit here and tell you what I do if it doesn't work for you, right? So primarily, I think we're going to stick to more principles, and then I'd really like your participation in it. So if you have lots of questions, that'd be great. Let's just do that, and we could just talk about, you know, I'm always running out of this, what should I do with that? And not saying we can fix it all for you, but we can at least talk about ideas. The first year before I went off to teach school, a friend and I went to see an old man, and he had taught, I think it was something like this, 15 years in a public school. It was some huge public school, I don't even know where it was, I think in, anyway, somewhere he had lived. A huge public school where they divide everybody up into grade abilities, and he taught the smartest of the smart ones, apparently, so he was pretty brilliant. And he was all stressed out about his first year. And then he became a Christian and taught Christian school for another 15 years or something. But his principal in public school, the first year when he got to start teaching, said, "I assure you, history will not take a sudden decline that they're going to be able to trace back to your classroom." So the point with that is, yes, we want to manage our time well, but let's not put ourselves under such pressure that we're sure the history of the world is riding upon us. You're not gonna be able to cope. None of us could cope very well thinking that, you know, if we don't manage this time to the perfect in this exact way. Let's take some principles and see how we can apply them and see what we can do. I find it interesting how many idioms there are about time. We all think we should buy some time, which doesn't make a lot of sense. We have time crunches, we get behind the times. We all like to have good times, and then we have bad times and high times, and we get things done in the nick of time, and we don't even have enough time to give someone the time of day, and we better make a stitch in time or else we'll have other things. And of course, teachers say that time flies, and the other part of that is time flies like an arrow and fruit flies like a banana, but you have to think about that for a while. And then, better yet, we all need some time out because we're stressed out. So I'm not going to go over every scenario you might face and go down through this is how you must handle this. Like we said, that hardly seems like it's going to work. But I would really be glad for your ideas and your questions. What do you do that works? And I'll tell you some things I do maybe, but let's not bind ourselves in. So what I'm going to do with this is we got these quotes. We'll see how far we get. If you have other ones, that'd be much better. We're going to go down over quotes of what people famous and not famous, and unknown even, have said already, and see how we can apply this lesson, and then hopefully you can come up with ideas of, hey, this is what I should do, this is what I should work on, that kind of thing. So, we'll start. You won't? Sure. We've got lots of extra. It said make 40. So, you can take two if you need two. First one is, one always has time enough if one will apply it well. Do you believe that? By the way, some of these aren't true, right? Some of these sayings are not—they're not from the Bible. None of them are. So you can disagree with them, and we will not cast you out in the outer darkness somewhere. Is that true?
I haven't found it to be true.
Oh, that's not true. Okay. Maybe where are you from? I can't read from here. Maybe they don't have that much time. Where are you from?
South Carolina.
Yeah, they don't. Yeah. They're more laid back down there. That's why they're not
kidding. It's the heat.
It's the heat. Is that true? Well, you can't disagree with them. We're trying to be friendly here, right? Kind of and kind of not. But here's the problem. Depends what you're trying to get done, right? Mm-hmm. Do you have too much to do? You're not going to get everything done if you have too much to do, right? So some days you do have too much to do, right? Yeah, I know this is heresy, but there are some days you're not going to get that class taught, right? Mm-hmm. You do that too? That's what I've had. And some days you don't have to teach that class because you have two. One year I had two girls in a grade, or all through 7, 10, whatever they were. Two girls in that grade, they're both smart and both shy. we didn't need much class. I think I kind of annoyed them with class time. Because they didn't need it. So save time, right? So I'm not sure. On one hand, this goes two ways. Because we can sit here and say, well, you know, we're teachers and we teach either lots of students or lots of grades. Or both. If you're really in a pickle. So, oh well, you know, we can't get around to it. But on the other, so there's a balance there. But on the other hand, we can't just sit back and say, well, I'm not going to get it all done. They gave me permission to when I went to this teacher meeting. They said, I can't get it all done. So there's two sides to that. There is sometimes you can't get it all done. Well, I think we'll cover that in some other points maybe too. But this thing on applying it well, I think definitely applies, right? What's your, if you don't mind to confess, I'll confess after you do. What is your most wasted, have you identified your most wasted time of the day, of a school day? What you do at home kind of applies to school maybe. Where do you waste the most time? I know where it is. Probably my co-teachers do too. When do you waste the most time? Just, you don't know.
Recess.
Too much recess or during the recess? Just keep on going after. I had a chairman the first lot of my years that would harp on us like everything. And he would do the math for us. You came in 2 minutes late for 3 recesses, this many days, this long. This is how much time you're stealing from your students. So, yeah, I know, but, well, is that okay? Should we always? Now you're dealing with school policies and all those things, too. I had a teacher, actually a substitute for a period of time, that said, now, you don't complain when we go out early, you're not going to complain when we come in early. That's fair enough. That's not quite how it works. Let's be honest with that, too. Any more comments on the recess thing? Do you sometimes go out late? Mm-hmm. So you come in late and go out late, it kind of all comes out in the wash. For me, it doesn't actually. I'd like to say that it does, but it doesn't actually. We are very prompt in going out for recess. The biggest reason I do that is because when I'm teaching them and it's recess time, I'm not teaching them anymore. Now, I'm not saying you shouldn't, and it depends on how much. If you got first grade and they don't know what time it is, and you go 2 minutes over, you're not going to help. I have digital clocks on my walls. Two of them, actually. They're atomic clocks, so they're never wrong, except when they do weird things like atomic clocks do. But they're never wrong, and we don't actually have any bells in the whole school. But when that clock says the time to go, they dismiss themselves, unless they are being spoken to. And I go over this to the first. Look, if I'm helping you with a question up here, you know, we're trying to figure something out, and you disappear on me, and you come back in, and so now what was that? Nope. I'm not helping you. You had your chance, so you can't walk off on me. But if we're not doing anything, because you know what's happening. This is what I had. This is why I made this rule. Because what's happening is a minute before, everybody has their desk clear and they're sitting there staring at you. You may as well, right? A minute and a half before, and then after, you just keep working it up. So I said, okay, we're not going out early, unless there's some reason to. When that clock turns the time, you got a schedule. These are upper graders. You can just go. You walk out. Now, there's some exceptions to that when we're doing something, but it kind of works. Any more? When do you waste the most time?
After the children leave from school.
That's my time. That's what I put down. The first chunk of time, let's not admit how long it is, after they leave. I do about 3 things. If I'm not careful, I eat junk food, just stand around and waste everyone else's time, or just sit there and do something useless. Yeah, that's my time. Anybody else? Should you go right into checking math tests? Oh, you shouldn't. What are you supposed to do? At 10 o'clock at night?
I see the time right after school with co-teachers is very, very important. Like, that's an essential part of my day.
Yes.
Because when students leave, they were bad, and I'm stressed. It's not going to be. I'm not going to be able to check very well.
I didn't say you shouldn't eat junk food and talk to your other teachers. Because when these people bring cinnamon rolls, never ever tell people to stop bringing food. they don't bring half enough, at least not where I teach. I don't know. I mean, it's not every day, so it's not enough. So, or coffee or something. So, yes, you should talk to your teachers and eat whatever food is brought, right? You want to stop people from dropping food off, just have it sitting there on the counter next time they come in, and it's all whatever, rotted or crusted over. And you'll cure them of that pretty fast. So, you should talk to the teachers. I think it was either the year that I got married or the year after. I can't remember. I didn't communicate very well with co-teachers after school because, hey, I'm going to get my work done. I'm going home. And one of the other teachers came and said, you know, you really ought to hang around more. You just start, you know, you just disappear. We're not really communicating. Yeah, whatever. He's just jealous, whatever. Yeah, that's also the problem. That's also the year. There's some, not serious, but less than ideal co-teacher problems. I did find out the very last day of school, bless the person who told me, that this other co-teacher has been frustrated with a certain thing for months that I didn't realize I was doing wrong. Still not sure I was, but it frustrated her. I could at least worked on it. You think there's a connection between that I was rushing home and this other teacher was frustrated and I didn't know it? Well, good chance. There's some other things there that should have been handled differently by me and her probably, but 1 year, and I don't do this anymore, I'm getting too old, I guess, or something. 1 year, I would stand to check papers after school at my stand. I had a big old stand, it was huge, on wheels and everything. And I'd stand up to it. That's a good idea, and I wish I would do it more, probably. Because you can not get a lot done. You can get a lot not done, or something like that. But standing up, you'll get a lot more done. It's amazing how... So make yourself efficient. All right. More questions, more thoughts on that idea, or questions in general, just random stuff too. Good. Next one, your time is limited, so don't waste it living somebody else's life. If you don't believe that, I tried it, I thought I was trying it, and it didn't work. See, that's the problem with teacher weeks. They're going to let me come back here again. But here's the problem with it. If you're not careful, if you don't think wisely, you come to these places and you get 50 good ideas. All right, here we go. And then you can't figure out how to make them work, or you didn't really understand them and things like that. And that's a problem. So you can't have this, you know, bicycle day and fruit salad day and visit all these local museums and have a general store in your house and go sort clothes at a clothing center and tour the courthouse and take all the students out for the birthday for supper and make handmade gifts. You can't do all that 1 year, right? And that's one problem with this. You're going to live someone else's life. If you don't watch it, you're going to end up frustrated because you're trying to do too much. It's back to what we said earlier. Can you get everything done? Well, it depends what your everything is. If you try everything, so relax. Take every single idea that you have here, that you hear about this week, and try to jam it into a small time. The first year I taught, I was taking over from another teacher who taught 1 year, and I heard a lot about all the stuff he did. And I'm just like, well, I'm never going to measure up. Because I think a little bit what happened is he tried to do a lot all at 1 year. And that wasn't a bad thing, but it wasn't going to work for me. And so it doesn't necessarily work. Living someone else's life. See, this is the problem. This was my problem when I started, is I go back to my frame of reference. Here's what my teacher did, and so that's what I'm going to do. That's fine. That's great. But are you that teacher? A teacher and I, the great, great people, I hope we're both great people, but we're not the same personalities or anything remotely. So know your abilities and don't try to teach by being someone else. And don't feel bad if other people do stuff you didn't get done and you didn't get done what other people did. Some help on that. Living someone else's life. It's a quote by Steve Jobs. So I'm sure he didn't have any peer pressure whatsoever, right? Actually, he might have. Okay. Please ask questions if you want to or if you have any. Instead of killing time, work it to death. Be ruthlessly efficient. how much time in a day do you spend handing out answers? But you, by the way, that's the most efficient way to get your lessons done, right? I know of a teacher that did that. It was about the end of the year, some big reviews or something it was, I don't know, how to get done. And he handed out the teacher's guide. Guess they got a good grade on that one. Saved time. He didn't have to teach it. That is the most efficient way to get something done short term. For today, you'll save yourself time by just, well, see this answer? Yeah, it's kind of going out here. That's the answer kind of thing. Long term, you're not going to. So work it. Don't work it today. Make your time count, but in the long term, right? If you're just sitting there. I had heard one of the first years I taught, I had heard this thing of a teacher should always be up and moving around, not just sitting in back behind his desk, always up moving around and going to students' desks. They have a question, you go back to their desk. And there's this fellow who was, I don't know, I thought older at the time at least. And he made a comment that I thought made it sound like he sits at his desk and students go up to him. Oh my God, is that legal? I thought there's a rule that you're supposed to be walking around. He said, that depends how old you are. Oh, that's interesting. Do you save time? Is that a time management thing? Can you save time by doing it one way or the other? Now, some things don't matter. It's not about saving time. I could save time by not teaching students. I mean, I could save time by skipping math this year. That's not, you can't go by that entirely. Should you go back to them? Does that save you time? Or should you have them, one student on either side of your desk helping them? That's more maybe younger grades where you can actually, you know, try doing two algebra problems.
Without thinking about it too much, I think it'd be more efficient for you, but not for the student. I worry more about the student's time than my time, especially the ones that can't get their lesson done. It doesn't seem like in a period.
So you should go back to them.
I would go to them to save them time.
See, that's another thing. See, there's all kind of time management. I was struggling to know where to go, if you can't tell already. Because are you supposed to manage your student's time, your time, both, some balance, right? It's a big subject. It's important, but there's a lot of parts we're not going to get to. Okay, so if I'm up, I'll go to them. I almost entirely have them come to me. In fact, I kind of have this thing, they can just come up. There's no raising hands for that. These are older students, you know, if you have first grade, you can just do stuff. Then they can't figure out where, you know. Yeah, so that varies a little bit. A couple of reasons I do that is, one, it gets them out of their seat and makes them move. And I think their brains work better when they walk. I pity my teachers. I couldn't sit still. I still can't. I sit in church and I would do worse than my children. And I'm still behind it. Probably wonder who's needs to train who here. I have a hard time just truly sitting still. And I was on an airplane yesterday for 4 hours, and the lady beside me was basically admitted that, pointed that out. This must be hard. Yeah. Nicely she did, but. So I think you get them up out of their seats and have them come walking up. I love this. This is great. And they're embarrassed, but I don't embarrass them this way. They get up there and say, this number, I'm trying to do this and this. Oh, yeah, I'll do that. And they feel terrible. Or they probably do. I'll tell them that's probably what I've told them already. You come up to my desk. Here's the whole point. You get up, you walk around, you get a little fresh air, and you move, and you plop it down. You look at the thing again. You're just staring at it, and your eyes are crossing after a while. And you say it out loud, there's a lot of things happening in there. That's a good thing. Does that take more time? Maybe. Probably could. Is it more useful for your time if they can figure their own stuff out? Oh, yes. Absolutely. Make students move. It is, I mean, I know students should sit still. This is another subject. Sorry, it's a pet peeve of mine, actually. Students should sit still, and I've seen all kinds of methods of making them sit still, and that's fine. They should learn. But I feel bad when I see little children having to sit perfectly still with their feet flat on the floor, staring straight ahead. I just start to get antsy watching them. I let people move around probably more than they should, partly because I couldn't. So don't work your students to death. That's not what this phrase says. Work the time. Make the time as efficient as possible. I had a coworker, the next one says, we got a dollar waiting on a dime. What did he mean? He was older and I was this little boy. What did he mean? He'd tell me this, or other people. Got a dollar waiting on Don when he was waiting on me. Something very valuable, him, as he was saying, is waiting on something one-tenth of the value. So he's a hired worker. I'm just dutzing around the shop trying to pretend I'm really big stuff and being useful. And he's waiting on me. This guy's getting paid to work here. Me, I'm just getting paid to stay out of the way, right? So when you're managing your time, be careful that you don't have dollars waiting on dimes. Make sure you get your important stuff in. What's the important stuff? It's a trick question because we all know.
The important stuff is teaching your students.
Teaching your students. What? Teaching them what? My point on that primarily is the general principle. Don't let less important stuff steal from the important stuff. And you're going to have to figure out what some of that is. I had some students last year after Israel was attacked and all those things were happening and there was tunnels and they were getting huge pumps and they were going to fill up those tunnels and the Gaza tunnels and Hamas and all this. They were going to flush them out and basically flush them into the ocean, I guess. They were going to pump seawater. And we saw... I had some students that were immensely intrigued with the war in Israel. I was too. Because guess what? If there's a big enough war in Israel, I think maybe the Lord's coming back soon. Now, I don't know prophecy at all, but this is kind of important stuff, I think, right? And we're not going to get into what you agree on prophecy because I'm not a good debater on that one. They were really interested in this. I think that was kind of important. And the one fellow kept asking, did they turn those big pumps on yet? Well, I don't know. I don't call Netanyahu up and ask him or anything what he's doing over there, but I didn't read anything about him. We were talking. I think some of that was important. Have we ever had late math classes? Well, some of the students learned if they can ask good enough questions long enough, our math classes get terribly late. And it's kind of embarrassing sometimes. Now, they're allowed to work well. If they've got work to do and they want to start in on it, they can chatter, they can do their work while some of us try to discuss what's happening in the world. That's okay. But you're going to have to decide what's important because, yes, I have started class way too late sometimes because it was really interesting, at least I thought so. And I think some of them, they're pretty sure, hey, watch this. We can sit around and talk for a while first. So I think that's something I'm pretty sure I don't always get it straight, but I don't think that's always 100%. I don't think math class is always the dollar and every other current event is the dime and things like that. There is important stuff, or if something big happened or if something scary happened or whatever else. We had people, somebody last year crop dusting with an airplane right beside school. You're for real going to try to keep first graders at their work? Like you're going to do that? Why? You're going to pull the blind. Okay, I get it if he's going over there all day. We had one doing some geological surveys. I don't know what he was doing, but he'd fly really low and he'd go about every 500 feet. So, and it was miles, so that every 15 minutes this plane would go by. It had a big old funny thing on its tail. It had something to do with oil, or I don't know what it had to do with coal mining or something. Right? So after a while, you can't watch that, right? But really, he's crop dusting right outside across the road. It's, 500 feet away. And you're things like that. Just stop. Just you'll get more done in the long run. All right. Everyone got nothing to say on it? It's all right. Charles Dickens, A Tale of Two Cities. This one, I think, whatever. It's just fun to read. But it also reminds me of school days. It was the best of times. It was the worst of times. It was the age of wisdom. It was the age of foolishness. It was the epoch of belief. It was the epoch of incredulity. It was a season of light. It was a season of darkness. It was a spring of hope. It was a winter of despair. We had everything before us. We had nothing before us. We were all going direct to heaven. We were all going direct the other way. Really? What's going on here? You ever have school dance about like that? It was the best of times because math class was working. It was the worst of times. We didn't even get through two English classes. Or we spent all of English class trying to patch up what I thought was a great math class and it didn't work or something, right? Basically, welcome to life. If you never have days where it really worked, or maybe this is your week, right? Beginning of the week, boy, they were on it. And then, I don't know what happened to their brains because you know, something big was exciting was happening, or just they were sleepy, or it was some revival meeting at the church, and you know, they're all in bed late, or some, you know, whatever. It can be that way. Let's not get panicky about it. That's all. It'll come around. You got ups and downs. Don't let this thing get you all frustrated. Maybe you need to figure out what's happening, if you know, and how you're going to deal with it. But you're going to have some of these, and you work to manage it. See what you can do. Maybe they do need to run around the school 3 times most mornings. We have a neighbor who looks at an old fella, stays, sits at home. He doesn't get out much, I don't think. He loves looking out the window. There they go around the property. I know what that's about. Yeah, you do. Someone said the answer to a bad day is not to despair, but repair. So you got one of these, your time, you totally didn't get stuff done. Repair it. Don't despair over it. You're going to have some. A teacher at one teacher meeting I went to, the next quote says something like, "The clock is quite merciful. The good days will always come sometime, and the bad days will always go." Isn't that great? No matter how you manage your time, bad days will go. And whatever good day you're looking for, word till come. So if you're all nervous about the first day, guess what? It's going to come, and then it's going to go. And they're all going to go out the lane. Isn't that great? Sometimes that's the most beautiful sight on planet Earth. As they all go out the lane, eventually their parents will come for them. Sometimes late, but they'll come for them, right? And then they all go home. It's just great. Now, if you have your own children, that doesn't happen. And that's good. I don't want to send my own children home with other people. But that'll work. Or, if all else fails, eventually they will graduate. Even if you teach a couple grades, they eventually will graduate. I haven't known anyone yet that sat in school forever. I've taught 17 or 18-year-olds, whatever they were, whatever that one fellow was. But eventually he graduated, and he's gone. I had a student that graduated, or went fizzling out, whatever. And he was the youngest in his family. Praise the Lord. And then the next year, I went to faculty meeting. We're sitting there, and the first grade teacher got the student. He's doing this and this and this. And I thought, here he comes again. It was his nephew. And I just remember thinking this. I thought, eventually, we're done with this fellow. And now he's coming back for round 2. And guess what? That fellow's gone now, too. It did end up. But I remember sitting in that, I can picture that meeting, I'm just thinking, this is awful. I thought things end. Turns out they do. That fellow went through all 10 grades, and now he's out. So, relax in the moment, perhaps. The next person, I made sure I put unknown there. I didn't want you to think that I say this. During a very busy life, I have often been asked, how do you do it all? The answer is simple, because I did everything promptly. Seems fair enough. How much do you shuffle papers back and forth? How many times do you organize your stack of papers to need checked? You don't do that? I mean, there's different colored clips you can put on them, and you can alphabetize them then. That's not bad, but how many times do we need to do this stuff? It's amazing how much stuff gets shuffled around, or I can... one person, I don't know what, I can't remember what they were describing, but they were describing as having a hard job to do, and he said, I won't get that done until I find something harder to do. What did that mean? The point being, he doesn't get hard work done until he's always doing the least hard job. Someone else said that whenever he's in there cleaning out closets and organizing his office, and his wife says, what for big project are you procrastinating on? It's amazing how much boring stuff needs done when we got something really big to do. So do it promptly. Organization is good. I'm not saying you shouldn't organize your papers alphabetically or whatever you like, but are you doing that, or are you just killing time until it's time to go? There's never enough time to do it right, but there's always time to do it over. You've told your students that, right? You didn't have time to do it right, you're going to have to do it over. Yeah, I guess that applies to teachers too. Did you ever reteach a lesson? Probably because you didn't teach it right the first time. I know it's usually their fault. And it probably is. I'm not saying it isn't. But sometimes we've had to reteach it. I spent all morning that year. I did a lot of my studying in the morning. I spent all morning, way too much in the morning, trying to figure out how to teach something in record keeping. And for the life of me, it was not there. I could not figure out the concept. It was so easy that the teacher's guide didn't explain it or anything. And it's time for school. I can't work late tonight because I saved it. And usually I had enough time in the morning. I usually worked. And so I got to class and said, here's this little section. And I don't know. I'm sorry. We're going to come back tomorrow because I just can't make the numbers agree with what they have. So, all right. Well, it turns out there was time to do it over. Thankfully, I didn't have to teach it. They're working their lesson a few minutes. One boy said, would you like to know how that works? Yeah, would you tell me? It's like this and it's like this. It's very hard. He was very respectful, thankfully. And I'm like, oh, that's why they didn't explain it, because it's so easy. So I had time to, I spent all that morning trying to figure it out, and then I still had time to teach it, to admit it, didn't get done, and then teach it twice and teach it again. So there's time to do it over. So if you're tempted to skimp on it, maybe do it over. A committee keeps minutes and wastes hours. You have an after-school committee that has to dissect everything. Now, we agree that's a good thing. But what about, do you get this committee factor where you just, you know, be careful about that. You drone on all about your problems. And there's faculty meetings or board meetings or whatever you go to. It can be that way, too, if you're not careful. So if you have a stressful situation, you want to talk about it, I sympathize with that. On the other hand, think about just keeping minutes and wasting hours. The next quote, it sounds like just a fact of life, but it is something I found somewhere. It said, isn't it aggravating how little value other people put on your time? How many is that part of your problem? Other people. You can have co-teachers like that. You can have parents like that. You could have very nice board members that show up 15 minutes before school starts. You know how much work can get done 15 minutes before school starts? About 1 hour. Right? Right? It's amazing. Number one, I'm awake, and I like mornings more than evenings, so we're going to get at it. And then a teacher comes over and says, hey, that program, so we should talk about that. Yep, tomorrow. I mean, not now, right? Be careful, because you got to value their time, too. So don't. I'm not saying chase them off. And it's more important that parents come in. Is it more important to run the parents off or get your devotional hashed out to the last degree? I think it's more important to take parents' time. I hope they're respectful. I hope they think about it. I hope they ask. But if they come and show up, or this board member wants to swing in and chat about something, if they do it a lot, well, then just schedule it in. And then if not, you have extra time, maybe. Do you think the Good Samaritan got told he was a bad time manager because he didn't get to his meeting on time? I'd say there's a very good chance. I bet the priest and the Levite were there on time. Now, you see the point? There's some things that are more important. Some things. Should you be on time? Absolutely. I am pretty adamant on, I think timeliness is maybe in between godliness and cleanliness. I'm not sure, I think. I'm really big on that, by the way. So I'm not saying be late, whatever, just kind of slide in late. But think about that. There are some things that are much more important. I got to school late when I was a student one time because we were trying to put cows back in a pasture. And, you know, well, that was probably somewhat worthwhile. I also got to school late one time because I tried to ride a horse there and that didn't work out either. That was another subject. All right. Questions? Holler them out. What do you do? How do you, what is something you found? Like, wow, I wish I'd known this before.
One thing I found, especially last year, is that review, for me, felt like a waste of time. Like, reviewing. I found out it's actually a great time saver in the end.
Good. Review. Don't skip stuff that's going to... It saves time today and not next week, right? Or next year, or whatever. Very good. Review. Review, review, review. Especially if any of you are teaching these little people. Drill that stuff into. Do not let them get up to this grade and they're still making mistakes on 3x7. Come on. It's not your fault, but whatever time you invest, however late you go to bed, your upper grade teacher should have to pay you something for that, because that is saving them tons of time. You going to go home and tell them that? Well, you probably can't, but you know what I'm saying? You're saving your upper grade teacher, a lot of time, if you get all your drill and your stuff in, and you get that nailed down. I wish so bad I could. I was at another teacher meeting. We were talking about math. We were talking about this very thing. And I said, maybe we should all go down to that class that's teaching math grades 1 to 3, go outside their door, and just beg them to take the time to drill and do those flashcards and whatever else. Now, if you're teaching upper grades and the lower teacher didn't do that, don't go yell at them, but maybe you'll have to take the time that they didn't take because they didn't have time. That's fair enough. More. We've got a couple minutes yet. What else do you want to talk about here? There's a couple more we should talk about. Downfather says, the surest way to be late is to have enough time. Have you ever done that? I got plenty of time to pick out Christmas songs because for Christmas program because it's August. And then paging through it too fast and don't have time to practice. Well, sometimes that's the way to be late. Have plenty of time to do it. I got all evening this evening. I don't have anything else to do, so I'll start out by wasting time. Well, that's a good way to run out of time. Zig Ziglar said, people often complain about lack of time when lack of direction is the real problem. I think that's great. How much time have you spent wandering around in a book or in a teacher's guide trying to figure out? Now, don't teach out of a teacher's guide. I sat in a classroom, bless his heart, and he read off what the teacher's guide said he should read off about in that tone of voice. Those poor children. It's no. So, on one hand, but use it. It gives you hints in there and helps. Now, don't just drone on out of it like you're doing the achievement test where it says say, and then you say stuff. I mean, that's fine for that, but I'm saying don't do that for your lessons, but use what you got. Don't have a lack of direction wandering around for stuff. Especially if you're getting started and you have time to look where you're headed in these books and look where they came from. You know, this fifth grade class doesn't know very much about this, or this is a review lesson, we can go a lot faster, things like that. And ask for help. What do they say? You should ask a question and be thought a fool than to keep your mouth shut and be a fool forever, right? So if you can't figure something out where you're headed, say so. If all your, you know, co-teachers, friends, and board members, whatever, watch out for a lack of direction, wandering around. You can wander all day. What do you think about this next one? Time you enjoy wasting is not wasted time. And the next one goes with it. Take time to do what makes your soul happy. Sounds kind of like we're sitting cross-legged and throwing foo-foo dust in the air. Is that true?
I think it has a true aspect, because if you always are extremely busy, you eventually need some time to catch up again.
That's where I was going with it. That's why I put it in here. Yes, oh, this makes me happy to sit here and, you know, not check the math test. We're not talking about that, right? But you're going to have to take time to recharge. I haven't done anything that took this much mental energy. I require a lot more sleep in the wintertime than I do in the summer when school's out. My wife has commented about that. Things like that. You got to recharge. Now, well, you know, what am I supposed to do with this? And that's why I said I'm not here to answer all those questions, but please, somehow, don't burn yourself out. There's no value in being a pile of ashes to anyone. Sorry. So have hobbies and friends. And yes, there are a few of you, I don't know you personally well enough, I'm just saying, there are lots of teachers that should have less hobbies and less friends. Probably. That's all they get done, as far as I can tell. But please do have hobbies and friends. And then you get these teachers that try to make money on the evenings and weekends. And I do that too. I'm not sure what to tell you, but watch out for it not to steal from your class time, and you'll have to decide that. Your board will have to decide that and help you decide that. So be careful. Do things. Don't wear yourself till you're a frazzle. You definitely won't be any good. There is a saying that says there's always that one summer that changes you. What can you do in summer to help this whole thing out? I know a teacher that told me he makes all his devotionals for the whole year during the summer. Well, good for you. If you can do that, I'm all for it. If I did that, it would sound like I'm rehearsing, I would just be reading out of the prayer book or something. I don't think there'd be a lot of inspiration there. Now, I save my devotionals and I reuse them. I mean, they probably don't sound the same, but I use the same basic. So some of those, but what can you do during summer? Every summer, I have at least in my head, a list of things I'm going to get done. And then I save it for next summer. So on one hand, you got to recharge. On the other hand, maybe summer, maybe I would do better at getting, you know, maybe that's something I could save myself time with. Art projects, I don't know, something like that. The best thing to spend on children is your time. Are you so sleepy checking papers that you can't listen to their stories? They saw an eagle on the way to school and they're all impressed with this and you grunt and nod because you got to get the papers checked. I think you have a problem. Yes, I know, I don't teach the, you know, those little people that just want to come in and chatter mildly. And I don't know, you know, bless you with patience, because I think that would, after a while, this is so exciting because, you know, we've all seen sparrows on the way to school, you know, whatever. But on one hand, be careful. Spend your time. Most of modern man's trouble comes from the fact that he has too much time on his hands and not enough on his knees. And if that was written in a time when everybody had a smartphone, we'd have too much time using their thumbs. Spend time on your knees. If you neglect your spiritual life, it's going to show up. I don't know if there's much to say that, just that. You've got to, and I'm not saying you don't, I'm sure you do. And if school hasn't made you spend more time on your knees, I got a few students for you, and they'll help you out with that. Thomas Paine said, "If there must be trouble, let it be in my day that my child may have peace." I thought that was an interesting thing. I thought of the times I did not spend enough time making an art project, figuring it out, and then figuring it out as we go. So my children, this is not peace and war, but there's been stress. I've had stress because I didn't spend enough time figuring out, like that class, I couldn't figure out how to teach record keeping. If I had done a better job, maybe somehow, and that would have saved them some stress later. So see what you can do to put the time in. And the last one, quoted by John F. Kennedy, supposedly this story wasn't necessarily true, but he would quote it. "I reminded the great French Marshal Lyautey, who once asked his gardener to plant a tree. The gardener objected that the tree was slow growing and would not reach maturity for 100 years. The marshal replied, "In that case, there is no time to lose. Plant it this afternoon." Whatever you're doing has the potential to impact a child in 100 years, or that child's grandchildren. There is a chance. And I'm not saying you should stress out about that, but what you're doing, what you're spending your time on, and I remember I had a student, I asked someone older, I said, "What should I do now? That way in 20 years from now, I don't have regrets." And that's what we talked about. Unfortunately, that child has not turned out well, and that's really sad. Thankfully, I should have done a lot of things, but I don't look back with huge regrets, at least. So what are you doing that you're planting? And if we keep that long-term view, hopefully that'll give us help. So especially if you are a bit overwhelmed with getting it all done, you have my sympathy. I wish we could send people around to help catch up on your checking, have these crews of people that just fly around and help come dive in and boost you a little bit. That would be great if someone wants to arrange that. So, but you have a tough job. You do. And it's hard. And it's going to take some management. And you'll figure it out. Just don't despair, repair. Thank you. Any more advice? All right, time management says you quit when they're done because they're not listening after the buzzer rings. Did it ring already? We're going to go for recess early. Thank you. You're dismissed.